Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome, welcome, welcome on this lovely Sunday afternoon with myself, Muhammad Lambat, on Radio Islam Medium Wave 1548 on this lovely Sunday afternoon. We're already quarter the way through the year. Time has just flown past us this year already. People have started planning holidays, executed their holidays, back home again. Operations are normal at home. Things are now just running smoothly back home again. Time is just flying. There's just no barakat in time. And there's so much of turmoil, so much of issues going on in the world. We all should make dua to the Almighty Allah. Allah protect us all. Allah make it easy for one and all. Allah protect the Muslims throughout the world. We see what's happening in Syria at the moment. It's unreal. It's unreal what's going on. And it's just, everybody turns a blind eye. Look at what's happening in Palestine. And that is really being covered up. I'm getting information from the embassy also regarding Palestine. It is ridiculous what's going on. But it's all covered up. We don't hear about it. If there's a blackout on news, you don't get the information. It's controlled. We don't get that information. We make dua to the Almighty Allah. Allah protect them. Allah bring justice. Allah make it easy for them. And Allah make those that are steadfast, let their heads stand up high. And let them come out victorious. Inshallah, we make dua to the Almighty Allah for that. Allah make it easy, Allah protect us. Allah prevent and Allah save us in this part of the world from going through atrocities, going through difficulties. We are so complacent about what's going on in our lives. We are so complacent with how things run in this part of the world. Alhamdulillah, I had a friend who, when we go for namaz, we go and in the masjid, you find little children can just walk into the masjid. They're playing around at the back, whatever it may be. They come in for salah, whatever it, however it is. But that was a shocker to say that in our part of the world, children are not allowed to go to the masjid by law. They're not allowed to go in. And also, you get teenagers who are barred from going to masjids. Masjids are locked. People cannot just go at any time and make salah at any time. In South Africa, he says, we are so fortunate. And I think we really are. We make dua to Almighty Allah. Ya Allah, make it easy for us. Allah protect us. Allah, make it easy. So much so that we can practice our deen the way we're practicing our deen at the moment. It's been like this all our lives. We were born with it. We grew up with freedom of religion. And Allah, make it such that freedom of religion must be the order of the day. We must be able to make salah, we must be able to pray where we want, we must be able to do what we want as far as deen is concerned. And Allah must just let it be for us. Inshallah, Allah protect us from all calamities. There's been many, many, many talks, many people were discussing different things and said there's difficulty coming for South African Muslims, but Allah can change conditions. We make sincere dua, we make tawbah to Allah. The sincere dua and tawbah with fijr in the masjid, Allah will protect us from whatever calamities going to befall us. Allah will save us from all that. So I think, you know, we should all start. Look in our hearts. Look in ourselves and say, what little good can I do that can contribute to wholesome good, to wholesale good? What can I do? So the little that we try and contribute when it comes to deen, let us try and do it. In every small little way, let us try and do it. Let us be kind to children. Let us be kind to people. We see all these viral videos that's coming out on WhatsApp and all over, where you find how children are being abused. Children are being hit by their parents, by step-parents. They're abused. That is not on. That irks a human being. How inhumane can somebody be to do such things? That is sad, man. That is sad. And that's happening. That's a reality. It's happening in this world. It's happening. It's just so sad to see things like this going on. We must try and change things in our own small little way. Let us be kind to children. Let us be kind to the elders. We find in hospitals also, the elders are being abused. You know, before we never heard of our people going into old age homes. Our parents, grandparents going into old age homes. Today we call it frail care centers. What is a frail care center? It's an old age home. You send them there. We don't know what's going on in some of these frail care centers. how our parents are being abused, how our parents are being shunned around, pushed around, not given food properly. You look at all these things. It is so, my heart is so sore. I read up an article just yesterday, and that's what really, really, it makes me cry when I see all these things. But it's happening in this world. It's happening in our time. It's happening where we are now. It's happening. Ya Allah, please protect us. Please protect us where we are going to grow old someday. And Allah, protect us from all these calamities. It's a calamity. Going out to all these frail care centers where our children cannot look after us and push us into frail care centers. That's not right. When we were little, we were born, our parents sacrificed for us, where they had sleepless nights for us. And here, when they are elderly, when they are old, when they cannot do much for themselves, we can't sacrifice for them? What kind of insan are we? Before taking our parents and shoving them into these frail care centers because we got to work and we got to do this and we got to do that and it's going to cramp our style and all that. Think about it. That's your parents. Think about those things. What did they do for you in your life? So don't just come and shun your parents and push them and get rid of them. That's not on. That's not on. Be kind. Be humble to people. When you're sitting with people, when you associate with people, be kind to them. Let us not try and hurt feelings. We went through all these things. In life, every human being, we can't say we did not do certain things which harm people. We are insan. But as time go by, you realize that what I did in the past, if I could just turn back the clock, I would change certain things of how I spoke to some people, or how I treated some people, or maybe I said something. Like they said, a bullet is out of the gun, what can you do? When you say something, the tongue is very sharp. When you say something, it hurts somebody. But you don't realize then, because why, mighty, strong, yes, I'm somebody. But as time goes on, you realize that that is not life. That is not life. Life is not where you go and you just hassle people, or you tell them what you feel like telling them. You just shoot from the hip, say what you want to say, and you say, me, I'm straightforward, I say it like it is. Yes, I'm straightforward, I say it like it is, but to realize that you are hurting somebody else. Try and be humble. Stomach whatever it is. You don't have to be straightforward and just shoot what you want to shoot and tell them and be harmful to them. It doesn't help. Because remember something, that what we sow, we shall reap. So if we are like that in the beginning, we break something, you cannot repair it later on. There's difficulty in repairing it later on. So we try and keep things together so it doesn't break. So on later in life, it's normal. It's not something which is repaired and it's now tender where it can break. That's relationships also. When we're young, we tend to do certain things. We tend to say certain things which will harm our partners. And it bites us at the end. It comes back biting us. That is life. We can only say this out of experiences, where we hear many, many people talking of these things. And you put all this together and you realize what is a common problem. And that is something which we should learn. It does not help to be, I'm that person that I say it like it is. It's not like that. It's unfortunately not like that. Because then when things break, then we want to sit and ponder, why did this happen to me? I'm just straightforward. What happened to me? Or what happened to my situation? It's because of our condition. Because of our initial condition of what we said, what we did, and how we did things. We don't realize. For us, yes, it may be right. Yes, I said the right thing. But you don't know how it is for the next person and how they're going to take it. To swallow that pearl for the next person is very difficult. And for that person then to come back and say, it's okay for me, I just heard it, it's done. Not realizing that we touched a certain nerve, we touched a certain point, and you hurt that person. That is bad. Now with all that, that is what we need to sort our lives out. Inshallah, Allah will make it easy for us all. We make dua to the Almighty, whoever's going through difficulty, whoever's going through problems and so on, Allah make it easy for them all. Allah protect each one. Allah make it such that everyone comes out of their issues and problems. We find it very difficult in life today. We find divorces left, right and center. At this point in time in life where it was almost unheard of before. And now it's so common. And it's like so easy. We find on the day of the nikah you find a divorce. That is now said. And it happens. These things are happening. We don't realize, but these things are difficult. They happen all the time. Allah protect us all. Allah make it easy for us, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, we got back from Vietnam. As you heard, we had a program also. We got back from Vietnam. We had a group that we went with to Vietnam. And alhamdulillah, what a fantastic team we had. What a beautiful team we had, alhamdulillah. These people were, you know, and this is not typical. When you're on safar, when you travel with people even, it's not that you're there, when you are there, listen, you know, I do what you have to do. I give you instruction to do this and this is what you must do. No, it's not that. You should care for people. Wherever you go, care for people, be kind to people, and you'll see the difference in life. That Allah makes things happen the right way when you care for people. Very important. Not only because you're now traveling and you're gone, but for Allah's sake you do it. And I tell you, it makes a difference. And alhamdulillah, we had a fantastic team. We had a team that was game. Fantastically game, I can say. That we went into the desert, thick sand. We had elderly people that said, okay, we come in, and they walked. They came into the desert with difficulty, but they loved it. And then you had the sand dunes, which elderly people thought, you know what, or the youngsters thought, where are they going to do it? And believe me, they did it. The youth was taken out of the adults, alhamdulillah. And beautiful. When it came to the food, the biggest thing in Vietnam, as we know, is food. We've had many, many people. People that took itineraries from us also, they went into Vietnam, they did exactly the same itineraries that we've got. They went into Vietnam and they found it very difficult for food. And our advantage is, alhamdulillah, we get food prepared. Hafiz Siraj Kaka was with us. He prepares all the food South African style. Every meal, each meal was catered for, alhamdulillah. And all home-cooked food, no issues for food. Everything was sorted out. That is what I think everybody loved. And the country itself, beautiful. You need to visit it. It's beautiful. And the more we go to Vietnam, we've been going to Vietnam for the last 10 years already, we do Kurbani there. But the more we go to Vietnam, the more beauty comes out of Vietnam. The more beauty, the stunning beauty that you see that Vietnam has to offer, comes out with every trip that we take. So when you go for the first time, you look at Vietnam, you look at it differently. As you go on, like with us, and we have to go. So when we go on more times than what we anticipated, we find there's more beauty that come out of that place. It's just so beautiful. The people are so humble. Now, when I started off, I spoke of humility. I'm talking of kindness and so on. Those people, if you're talking of kindness, we as Muslims should learn from some of those people what type of kindness they have. They are just unique human beings. But in general, the Far East, we find lots of the Far Eastern people have this humility in them, this kindness in them, simplicity in them. And that's what we should learn. They don't have the world of everything, but they have humility, they have kindness in them. When you ask them something, they with respect, they will bow their heads and they will answer you, they will talk to you with kindness, not raising voices and so on. You probably will get that odd few. That is natural. That's in any part of the world. You can't have 100% humble people. You get that odd few. But the majority are humble people. So that is what I love. And also, like I say, the team that we went with, what an amazing team. That we had professionals in our team. We had, in fact, we had the principal of Lens High, Mrs. Hava Munshi. She was also there. And at first, initially, when I thought Hava Munshi, when she's going to be there as a principal, how am I going to react? But she was just down to earth with us, and we just had a go. And it was, everything fell into place, alhamdulillah. What a beautiful trip we had, shukr. I don't want to elaborate much on the trip, because that's not the aim of this program. But all I want to say is, when you go, it's the people that you go with, the important thing in life. Wherever you travel, like they say, to know a person is to travel with a person, or to live with a person, or to work with a person. Now, to travel with a person is one university on its own. Traveling is one university. To travel with a person is another university. You learn people, you see people's reactions, you see how people get up in the morning. You find people that are not morning persons. When you get into the bus and you find some people are just like, in Afrikaans, like they say, they're noirs. So when you get people that like, they don't want to talk one word even in the bus. Then when you start talking, they like, look at you, what's going on with you so early in the morning? And whereas you get some people, they just get up in the morning, they'll come downstairs or wherever it may be, and they're already talking and bubbly and what's going on and happy and go, you know, it's things like that. different type of people you get to learn. So when you're on safar, when you're on tour, and you learn people, you learn the type of a person that you're traveling with, that you are associating with, and you see that, okay, this person in the morning, please don't tell this person anything, because you're going to get a backlash from that person. So take it easy, relax. For the next person, when they get up, they probably just want their coffee immediately. You've got to understand, that is this person's makeup. That's how they want it. So you learn people. And that's the way, when you learn people in this form, yourself, you can improve your own life. You can improve yourself and say, listen, I got to understand people. It's not what I want. It's not what I do. It's not what I like. It's what people around me, together with me, make up the morning. So you have the people that are quiet, you have the people that are rowdy, then you have the people that are noisy, then you have the people that are jolly, you have different types of people. All that must be put into one pool, and you got to understand, and you got to adapt yourself like that when it comes to traveling. Very important. Most important thing is, you take du'as from people while you're traveling, Allah accept. Alhamdulillah. Shukr alhamdulillah. We came back this past week, we got back again from Vietnam. Fantastic tour. Shukr to the team. Lovely. We had people from Durban, we had Middelburg, we had Benoni, we had Lanesia, we had Roshni. So we had a mix of everybody. Almost people that didn't know one another, that came back as one family and now stuck as one family. That is of importance. Where you create muhabbat, you bring unity, where now those people became families. Inshallah, Allah make it possible that they associate with one another, they talk to one another, continue keeping that muhabbat. That's what we want. Allah make it easy for one and all, and we ask for du'as from everybody, inshallah. That's about it. Now, very important when it comes to traveling, passports. Something that I've learned this time around when I went overseas. My passport expires in 2021. I had one page left in my passport. Now, with one page, I needed to get two visas. And both the visas get stuck into the passport. What do you do? Went to the Home Affairs. 1.5 months before applying for a passport. Normally your passport takes 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 7 days, and your passport is out. 1.5 months, and I battled with my passport. At the last day before traveling out, I managed to get my passport, talking to somebody senior, going right up to the DG in Pretoria, and I managed to get my passport. Very important. If your passport is expiring 6 months in advance, apply for your passport. If your passport is full or getting full, please go in advance and apply for your passport. They would, like in my case, there was misunderstandings and so on, so I got double charged for it. But get that part in order, get that part pushed up aside, get your passports sorted out. Very important to have a passport always. Lots of people have this notion in them that we'll apply for a passport when we're flying or when we're going anywhere on holiday. Don't do that. Rather have a passport. Now, receiving your first passport is an exciting milestone. And it means you've finally set to add Globetrotting Explorer to your list of achievements. That is now having a passport. But there's a number of finicky things about passports. Any newbie traveler wouldn't know about, you know, they wouldn't know, for instance, certain countries. The entry rules mean that your passport actually expires well before the date stipulated in your green mamba, which we in South Africa call our passport. It's affectionately known as the green mamba. Wherever we go, here's my green mamba in my hand. And traveling has the ability to change our perception and gives us an adrenaline rush. And it provides you with a thrill of and an excitement of jetting off into the unknown. And that is now traveling. But before we dive into many, many opportunities with our passport, with our so-called green mamba, you know, it can take us to, it's important to be in the know about your South African passport application and all that. Well and good. We want to go for a holiday. We want to go. We want to get into the, we plan our holiday destination, does that. But we need to know the importance of the application of a passport. For instance, did you know that in 2014, South Africa decided to do away with temporary passports? Now, when I couldn't get my passport on time, I asked for a temporary passport. And I said, please, can I get a temporary passport? Maybe that can help me with my visas. Simple no. We cannot give you a temporary passport unless it's a dire, a case of a total emergencies. In that case, which is an exclusive, where they will say, you know, in this case, there's no option but for us to give it to you, and they will give you an emergency passport. But other than that, there's no emergency passports. Like before, we used to get those passports for 6 months. They give you a small little, I think a 6-page passport just to travel out abroad when you have, if your passport was full or you didn't have a passport. Not anymore. So please remember that. No more temporary passports. With the country moving forward through digitization and the introduction of the e-home office system, you can now apply online for your ID and passport. Now there you go onto the DHA, Department of Home Affairs website, and you can apply for your passport online. There's procedures of how you can do it, and it's a virtual and far more efficient experience. And the turnaround times have improved. Passports processing is done in short time now. Unlike before, they tell you 10 weeks. They tell you apply and get it done in 10 weeks. And what they do is within 4 or 5 days. And also you are updated with SMSs all the time. So when you get there, you give them your cell number. They will update you. As soon as you pay, you get an SMS. As soon as your application is in process, you get an SMS. Once your passport is printed and done and ready for dispatch, you will get an SMS. Or if it comes to the Home Affairs that you applied at, you get the SMS to say you can now collect your passport. So the system has really, they jacked up the system. So that is now all in order. Then you have your online application, which now banks have now come and they've put their shoulder to the wheel, and they now, together with the Home Affairs, are making it so much easier for passports to be issued, for IDs to be, ID cards also to be issued. So you apply at the bank, on the DHA, on the Department of Home Affairs website, you apply, it will ask you which bank, where, and you upload all your documents. You have to do all that in order. And it's quick. They give you an appointment time. You get there at that appointed time for your fingerprints. You get it sorted out and you finish, done. You don't have to stand in all these queues with hundreds and hundreds of people. So that is of utmost importance that for us to know. Then you can apply through, it's EBSA and Standard Bank, if I'm not mistaken. There's two banks that are doing it. I'm not so sure of FNB, but I know EBSA and Standard Bank are doing that. So you just, on the website, you'll be able to follow that and pick that up and apply. And have you checked the validity period of your passport and also your destination, wherever you're going? Now, South Africa allows for a narrow 30-day passport validity window. And while visas are granted on the nature of visit, things can get tricky for a foreign visitor planning around a 90-day visa on arrival. So if you've got 30 days left on your visa, it's likely that many countries will not allow you to get onto flight, because they will tell you that your passport is now expiring, and it's expiring within a 6-month period, and we cannot take you on flight. In the event that you have a stayover for whatever emergency it may be, whatever it may be for, that you're going to stay over for more than 3 months or 4 months. So they want a minimum period of 6 months. Sorry. So now, another important thing is that when you're applying for your passport, when you're applying for a South African passport, and if your passport is expiring 6 months from today, when you apply for a passport, they will not charge you a penalty for the old passport, because you're in that window period of 6 months with the Home Affairs. So you can apply 6 months, as soon as your last 6 months kick in for your passport. For example, if your passport expires on the 31st of December 2018, which is end of this year, if your passport expires on the 31st of December, and knowing that you are going to be flying round about the 15th of December, for example, you are allowed to apply for your passport from July onwards. End of June, July, you go and you apply for your passport, which then will be a valid application to state that your passport is expiring, that is why you're applying for another passport. You will not be penalized. Normally, the penalties are, your passport is 400 rand, your penalty is also 400 rand. If you are applying for a passport, which you still have a valid passport for over 6 months. So in this case, you will not be charged a penalty fee. You have that 6 month period, and you can apply within the 6 months. So that is what you can do there, and apply for your passport. Get it in advance. Do not wait for November, December and said, I'm going to apply. Because if you're applying for visas for certain countries, you may not get your visas. Very important. You will not get your visa. So it's something that you should work around. Because it's important that you have that many pages. Because if you're applying for visas also, they sometimes want a minimum of 3 blank pages to issue visas. Because if they stick a visa in your passport, for example, with us now in the Vietnamese visas, they stick a visa on one whole page. So when you got that, you're already now down. And if you got 2 pages left, you're down 1 page, and then they have to stamp your passport, obviously. So in doing so, you are in difficulty already. So have a passport that has more than 3 pages, and have your passport which is valid for more than 6 months. Then you are okay. Otherwise, you are going to be in a problem. So it is important. Many people get caught up with this. Many, many people. Another example, which happened to us this past week, there was somebody that applied for UK visa and Schengen visas. Now, what they did was, which I think the unfortunate part was, they applied for the Schengen visa first, and then they applied for the UK visa. What you must do better, which is the easier part, is to get a Schengen visa. So you apply for your UK visa, that takes much longer than your Schengen visa. So apply for your UK visa. Once you get that, then you apply for your Schengen visa. Your Schengen visa is the country that you're going to be staying the most in the Schengen states in Europe. There's all these countries put together make one Schengen visa. So you can travel between different countries, and by traveling between different countries with one visa is called the Schengen visa. So if you're going to Italy and you're going to France and you're going to Spain, for example, you apply, if you are going to be 4 days in Italy maybe, or your entry is into Italy, so when you get into Italy, you need your visa. So you can have visas for where you apply at the Spanish embassy, at the French embassy, or the Italian embassy, for example, and they will allow you to go in. So you have those that Schengen visa in place. And once you got that, the important thing is to have that particular Schengen visa for whichever country it is. Better so is they ask you the country that you're going to be residing for the longest period during your stay in that particular country, that's the country you should apply for your Schengen visas for. Obviously, they're going to ask you for your ticket and validity and all that. They want to check your hotel accommodation. All that you get in order and you get that sorted out. So that's not a train smash, I would say. And so that is all in order. Then, when it comes to your different visas that you have visas which they give you on a paper, and you have visas that you have on that's pasted in your passport. Then you need extra pages for the stamps of the countries that you're going in. That is why they say have 3 pages minimum blank in your passport. With 1 page, 2 pages, it will be difficult. They will accept you, yes. But it will be difficult where sometimes some countries have different rules and regulations. And they may just tell you that you don't have sufficient pages, we cannot accept. So then you got a problem. So rather have your extra passport and you continue with a full passport and then you're traveling with that. Now, another thing also is if you're traveling abroad, you are stressed about harrowing trip to embassies and home affairs. I'll give you some tips on as far as your visas are concerned, where your dual citizenship part of it, how you travel. There are many people that have dual citizenship. How do you travel and so on? But we'll do that right after the break.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. If you just joined us, you're listening to myself, Muhammad Lambat, on Radio Islam, Medium Wave 1548 on the Globe Trotting program on this lovely Sunday afternoon, alhamdulillah. And like other days, we are talking travel. But today we're talking about your passports. As you heard before the break, we spoke about passports, the importance of applying for passports, when to apply for passports and so on. Very, very important. I gave you some important tips which physically happened to us when it came to passport applications and so on. So it's very important that we abide by some of these rules when it comes to passports, when it comes to application of visas. There's so many different things that we should abide by. Now, you finally made the time and saved enough cash for your first overseas trip if you're traveling for the very first time. But you start sweating as soon as you start thinking about sorting out your travel documents. You've heard about probably your cousin's 3-hour delay at passport control or a visa approval nightmare that you get circulated on social media. But as long as you don't have a secret criminal
alter ego. You should be good to go when you come, when you're applying for your visa and so on. Now, first of all, you must triple check your visa requirements. Unlike a sought after USA or European passport, South Africans have fewer options when it comes to visa-free countries. I call it like hassle-free travel destinations, where they don't give you any problems. You get to the counter, you get your passport stamped, and you're out onto the other side. Unlike where you have to apply for visas and so on. Always make doubly sure about the visa requirements for South Africans for the country you're visiting from internet sources. And also do a third check by calling up the country's embassy in South Africa. Don't despair too much though. There are at least 92 countries where our South African passport has no visa requirements. But my advice to you is, before traveling to any destination, first inquire from the country's embassy and ask them if visas are required for South African passport holders. Make sure, double check on the internet and just see if visas are required. Sometimes somebody may tell you something which may not be correct. So rather, make sure, contact the embassies. If need be, contact me also. You can contact me on Mohammed, M-O-H-A-M-E-D, @globetrotting.co.za, or my SMS line is always 072-786-5520. It's 072-786-5520. And my Instagram handle is globetrotting25. Contact me, maybe I can assist you, or if I can't do it immediately, I'll come back to you, I'll get the information and come back to you and give you the necessary information. So that is of importance, where you should make inquiries about the visas. And then applying to first world countries, flying to Europe, Australia or USA, their visa processes are known to be a long drag, I would say. So try to do your application at least 3 months in advance, or minimum 6 weeks prior to you traveling. Make sure you make a list of all the documents you need, and that you keep a paper trail of all your transactions and interactions with the relevant embassy, in case they make life difficult for you. What is of importance is try and get emails sent to them. Always have on record whatever mail you send to them. So the most important, if you want to say anything also, even if you call them and you talk to them, can you just tell them, can I just put it on mail and send it to you for whatever I'm discussing with you? Do that. Put it on record. Send the mail to them. So you have it on record, they have it on record. So if there's any discrepancies later on, you know you have it on record via email. So it's important that you do that. Have your correspondence sorted out. Now, somebody asked me just yesterday, day before yesterday, somebody asked me about visa applications. If you do it in advance, what happens? Does it expire? Now, what happens is, if you're applying 3 months before, if you are traveling out of the country, say 15th of December, and you are applying for your visa for example, say London, for UK. So if you're applying for a UK visa, you can go and apply, say, sometime in September, October. You can do that. Apply, you show them when your air ticket is made out for, or when you're flying out. You present yourself, you do your application, you do all that in advance. When you have that sorted out, what happens is they will issue your visa for the time that you're traveling out of the country. So they won't give you a visa from September on. They'll give you a visa from December down. So maybe 13, 14, 15 December, for a month thereafter, 2 months, whatever it may be that you've applied for, they will give you your details according to that. They will give you your visas. So what you do is you apply in advance. They will tell you on their websites. Their website has got it, most of these countries' websites have got it noted that you should apply at least a minimum of 21 working days before you travel. 21 working days. That gives it Monday to Friday, which gives you 5. They don't count Saturday, Sunday. So you got 5, 10, 15, 20. That is 4 weeks. That's 1 month in full. You need to apply in advance. Do that, because it's of importance that you apply in advance. You don't want to come last minute to the airport waiting for your visas, or the last day running around for visas. You don't want that. So get that sorted out. So then that makes it so much easier for you. it doesn't. It, you know that you are in advanced with all that. If anything does happen, they require anything different from you. You know you have it, and you can just continue with that thereafter. Now you have people that have dual citizenship. If you happen to have dual citizenship, your option for visa-free travel has just doubled. Especially if you have a highly coveted first world passport. For example, if you have a British passport. By having a British passport and you have a South African passport, your visa problems are much less. Now, it is noted that South Africans do not want dual citizenship. And that rules you got to check out also. But if you do have dual citizenship, it makes it so much easier. Make sure that you leave and enter South Africa with your South African passport. So if you're leaving Johannesburg, you have a British passport also. When you leave Johannesburg, you leave with your South African passport. As soon as you come to London, you present your passport, your British passport. And when you present your British passport, you enter the country without visa hassles or anything. When you exit London again, you exit with your British passport. When you come back to South Africa, you present your South African passport. As simple as that. No visas required in that case. It just makes it very easy for you. And then in South Africa, it is illegal to enter and leave on a different passport. So please don't try to be a gangster or, you know, main O. You can't do that. So just be very, very careful, because they will hassle you for that. And then, you know, we tend to have this notion that to apply for a passport is a mission. All kinds of nasty stories have come out about the horrors of home affairs. But from personal experiences these days, it's not such an excruciating experience. You do have long waits. But they've come up with a new system at home affairs now. They've got the ticketing system. If you go early, you're very early in line, you will get your ticket. Once you get your ticket number, which is an early ticket number, they call you up. On screen, they have the number that they present. They call you up and you go in, you do your thing, photo booth. It will tell you maybe ticket number 6, go to photo booth number 2. You go there. Already when you get there, all your information is already on screen. You go there, they'll ask you for your photo. They'll ask you to sit in the booth, take your photo. You come out of there. You sit again for a minute or two, you'll hear the message coming up on the screen. Ticket number 6, please go to the payment booth or the paying counter, whatever it may be, or cashier, whatever they may call it. You go there and you pay. Once you pay, you sit, then they call you back up again for your final application. So you go back to the counter, which all happens in a few minutes. You go back to your counter to do your biometrics, your thumbprint and your fingerprints and all that. You do all that. While you are there, when they punch it in, it will give you an SMS immediately to tell you that you have applied successfully, your passport application has been lodged with so-and-so Home Affairs, and they will inform you what to do from there. From experience, within a week, they send you a message, your passport is ready for collection, please come in personally. You are not allowed to send anybody with your receipt to collect your passport, because they need to do biometrics again. You've got to put your thumbprint so that they can present that passport to you directly. Now that's a thing that has changed. So it's important that you go to the Home Affairs again yourself to collect your passport and you get that in order. So that is also very important. Another thing is, if you're a frequent traveler, hold on to your old passports. Even if you've never used the passport in full, or if you just got a few pages that you've used your passport, or maybe you may have not traveled in that period of time, just keep your old passport. Some countries want to see where you've been, and in an age where countries are zooming in on where people have traveled before, it's better to have it than not. It can also be used as a backup to prove your identity in case something happens to your new one. Just make sure you don't give the expired one when you're presenting. So make sure you have your old ones, pack them away, and just put them aside. So you have that, you know, you just put that aside, so that's sorted out then. Then you have child passports also. If you're traveling with a child under 15 years of age, you're going to need both parents on board to do the application for at the Home Affairs. Both parents have to go in to fill out those forms. If you're married or not, fill out those forms, get it done. In case of the death of one of the parents, you need the death certificate. And for other special cases, you need a letter from the children's court if need be. Or if you are a guardian, you need a letter from the high court to state that you're a guardian. If you're getting a bit confused, just simple.
what you do is make sure you have the relevant documentation for a child when you're doing a child passport application. Birth certificate is required. Both parents are required. If one parent has passed on, you need a death certificate. If the one parent is not present, you need a letter from that parent who goes to the High Court or go to the Supreme Court or wherever it is, to the police stations, get your affidavits done. Present that. That will be acceptable. So that is very important. Another thing is, before heading off on your happy holidays or wherever you're going, make a few scans of your passport. I always say that. And today with technology, it's so easy. You take a photograph of your passport, you WhatsApp it to your family and friends or your close, your next of kin, WhatsApp it to them and tell them to keep it on hand. So before you travel, you have that recorded, they keep it with them. If in the event anything happens, whatever happens to you wherever you are, and if you lose your passport, they can WhatsApp it back to you again, or they can email it to whichever email address you want them to email it to in that particular country, to the embassy, wherever, and it will make it easier for you to reapply for your passport while you are traveling when you lose your passports. So in that case, it's very, very easy. Try and have at least one certified copy of your passport at home. Before you leave, make a copy, certify it at the police station, or if you're going to the courts or wherever it may be, just save it at home. It's important that you do that. Like now when we travel to Vietnam also, it was important that I kept all the passports together. I made copies of each one's passport while traveling. So what happened is when we get to the hotels, we don't have to run around asking everyone for their passports, present it to the counter, let them make copies, bring the passports, share it out again. No. All I did was I had all the passport copies. When I came to the counter, I present the whole file of passport copies to the counter. They take it, they make copies, they give me my copies back again. Done. Period. So it makes it so much easier. Always have copies so you get sorted out. Try and find out the country that you are going to. Try and find out where the embassy is. What is the address of the embassy? Have that with you. It's important that you do that. Because if in the event anything does happen, you do have the embassy details, you can contact them, or if need be, lots of times people register with the Home Affairs, with the embassy when they reach the country to say that we are in your country at the moment, we South Africans, this is the hotel I'm staying in, these are my details. If in the event anything untoward or unfortunate happens, for example, the hotel maybe burns out or anything does happen and people do get hurt, people die and so on, if you registered yourself and if the embassy finds out that that particular hotel had problems, they will come to your assistance and they will make sure that you are in order, you are all okay, and they will give assistance. That's what they are there for. And then, if you find that you are having difficulty with visas, lots of times we tend to say that, okay, you know, I'll do my own visas, I'll get my own visa sorted out and so on, but then you don't know what the rules and regulations are. It makes it difficult sometimes. Get somebody to do it for you. Let's make it easier for ourselves. Get somebody to do it. Costs you 200-300 and more, but you just get somebody, you give them the application form, or they've got the application forms, you give them your passport with the necessary documentation. They know the loopholes. They know how to get it easier and quicker. Do that and get it sorted out for you. That makes it so much simpler and so much easier for you. And then when you are also, another thing which we notice when you're coming to counters, passport counters, these people will look at you like, you know, what the hell are you doing in my country? Some of them are like that. I find that in many, many, many instances, that's what it is. But the passport control officer have had long days of people, they're hustling through to their more exciting destinations and so on. The least you can do is greet them with a smile and have all your documents ready for them. Like I always do is take my passport, the first page I have open, if need be I'll keep my finger on the last page where it needs a stamp. I present it like that, they will take it with their two fingers in between and they know where to stamp. And the first page is where they have to scan your passport in. Simple like that. To go through faster, aim for the queue with the least families and more solo travelers. That goes much quicker. So if you have a group of 5-6 people together, try and avoid those lines. And you go to where you have one clients going through. Much quicker and it's much, much easier. And if there's a problem, remain as friendly as possible. It will go smoother. And always have a pen with you. That is something which I do time and time again.
always have a black pen with you wherever you're traveling. Once you leave home, in your bag, on your list also, make sure you have a black pen on your list. It is important. You go to many, many, many ports. They'll want you to write or fill out forms and so on. I find that irritating when you are busy with your with filling out forms. You'll get somebody standing and overlooking your shoulder, wanting you to finish quickly so that they can just ask you for your pen. Please, can I use your pen? Those things you don't, you know what? It's, you rather have your own pen. You get yourself sorted out. Even if you're in the plane, they give you some forms to fill out. Fill it out in the plane. What's your own pen? Get done, finish. You're not waiting for other people's pens. That is now simple, basic stuff which I've just shared with you. It is important stuff, but basic. We tend to overlook these things, but this is reality, and this is important. So make sure these few pointers that I've given you, just try and abide by those pointers. It will help you. Not today, not tomorrow, but whenever you're traveling abroad, it will definitely help you. Follow us on Instagram. If you want to, you can follow our Vietnam trip also on Instagram, which we had now in March and April, on Globetrotting25, and share Vietnam with us. It was just amazing and beautiful. Globetrotting25. Our website address also is www.globetrotting.co.za. We're busy developing it at the moment. We've just got some stuff loaded on there, but we are going to be putting more things on that website. It's Globetrotting25. www.globetrotting.co.za. Instagram handle, globetrotting25. The number 25 is globetrotting25. My SMS line, 072-786-5520. From myself, Muhammad Lambat. Until next week, same place, same time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.